is mentioned or that is based upon one of his characters. He didn't do this for absolutely all of them, but almost all of them. He wanted to make a cameo. Like, one of my favorite movies from growing up, or from my angsty teenage years, was Mallrats. And he plays a principal role in that movie. He's the one that, like...
As himself.
He's the one that convinces Brody to, like, come to his senses about the girl he loves. And it turns out that T.S.'s best friend, like, paid him off to do it. Not paid him off, but convinced him to do it.
Yeah.
But it's just... I like when people who are just so incredibly innovative, and I mean, his imagination is obviously unbelievable, but are just still so cool and can hang. You know what I mean? Like, so many people that creative and brilliant are reclusive and standoffish, and he just chilled.
He also at the time that he really started burning out on editing and writing comics, saw the value of those characters. So he leaves Marvel as editor-in-chief, goes out to Hollywood, and starts pushing to get cartoons and live-action TV series. And we get that god-awful Spider-Man series that ran on ABC. It's on YouTube now. Watch it. It's like Spider-Man dealing with street thugs. It's ridiculous.
Yes, I loved it
when I was a kid, but it's a really bad show.
Oh, I've seen it. It was horrible.
The Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno. As the Hulk.
Oh, yes.
And Lou Ferrigno is still playing the Hulk, by the way, in the Avengers movies. And beyond that, you know, Stan Lee is part of the reason that Sony makes the Spider-Man movies. He's part of the reason the X-Men movies get made. He's part of the reason the Marvel Cinematic Universe exists. This guy had as much influence on our culture and on the stories we tell and on the entertainment that we consume as George Lucas.
Oh, absolutely.
And the amount of stuff that he created is 10 times, 20 times, 30 times broader. Because Lucas just created Star Wars. All right, Lucas created Indiana Jones and Willow and some other stuff.
But nobody ever thinks about, like, I'm not trying to be rude, but when you think George Lucas, you just think Star Wars. Like, you don't even consider Indiana, like, unless you're, like, a movie nerd like I am. Nobody would, when I say Indiana Jones, your first thought isn't George Lucas, it's Harrison Ford, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you don't really bring him into the picture. But no, you're making an excellent point, because that's why his imagination was so incredible that he could, I mean, like, I write a lot, but it's always from, or at least largely from, swing and a miss. Derek just missed when he threw his Mountain Dew bottle into the recycling. I write a lot, but it's generally, even when I'm writing something fictional, it's at least a little bit from my perspective.
Yeah.
He had this ability to just take himself completely out of it. And my favorite thing about him, though, it was that based on the things I've read, because, you know, after he passed, given all the comic book nerds I know, latch. Thank you. But I latch onto something and just, like, go crazy looking up everything about somebody. But from everything I read about him and knowing what I already knew about him, he didn't do all of this to become a millionaire, even though he was. He did it because he wanted to share this with people who needed it.
He was the first person to say that people who draw comics should have their names in the credits.
Yeah.
He started that.
Yeah.
The way that he used to make the comics, is fantastic, because he was doing so much stuff simultaneously. So what he'd do is he'd write an outline of a story and then give it to an artist. And the artist basically had free reign to do whatever they want with it. You know, and they'd come back with the pages with the word balloons in there, and Stan would sit down and just write in
what they were saying.
Whatever the dialogue was going to be. So the artist that he worked with had a tremendous, Jack Kirby in particular, had a tremendous amount of influence and a tremendous amount of input in not just the development of those characters, but the way that the stories got told. Stan wasn't sitting there saying, this is going to be this, this is going to be this, this is going to be this. Here's an outline, come back with something, I trust you.
Yeah. Well, and like the fact that he did that too, it reminds me, like, I used to work for a fashion line when I was in college. I had an internship there. And I remember how just sad it made me that I worked there for 6 months. And there were these three designers who worked like 12-hour days, trying their hardest just to make everything absolutely, positively perfect. I didn't meet the actual designer, like the woman whose name is on the brand, until a week before we went to Fashion Week, when she came in and said, fix this, change this, fix this, change this. And then at the end of the show at Fashion Week, when, I don't know if you know that this is a thing because you're Derek, but at the end of every runway show, the models do one more walkthrough all in a line, and then the designer comes out and walks the runway following the models. And I remember watching this woman, I'm not going to say her name on the radio because I'm not rude, but I remember watching this woman walk down the runway and thinking, you had less to do with this than I did, and I'm an intern. The only thing you had to do with this was that you were the one that had the money to start a fashion line. And that's, it's so beautiful that someone like in Stanley's position would allow the people behind the things, the brilliance that he has, to have a face and a name.
Ennio Morricone.
Ennio Morricone. Blanking.
You have to look this up because this is hilarious. Ennio Morricone is the legendary Italian maestro, composer, 90 years old. Playboy Germany runs an article claiming that Ennio Morricone, in an interview, said that Quentin Tarantino is a cretin and that his movies are trash. Sentiments that I know Shea Spillane agrees with.
Who's this guy? I want to hug him.
Ennio Morricone subsequently denies that he ever said any of this. He won an Oscar for his score for the Hateful Eight.
I rescind my hug.
So late on Tuesday, Playboy Germany issued a statement saying, quote, the words spoken in the interview have, in part, been reproduced incorrectly, end quote. This interview was conducted by a Danish freelancer who either submitted joke copy or doesn't understand Italian or just wanted to stir the pot.
They don't parle italiano.
Folks, look it up. It's the Ennio Morricone story.
Yeah, they called it an intolerable breach of journalistic ethics.
Yes. I think what happened is the interview happens and then this guy just goes and hands in whatever the heck he wants. And it's Ennio Morricone. The man is a legend. The man is a legend. Can we trust nothing? Folks, it's fake news. That's what's happening. This is where fake news comes from. Freelancers over in Germany.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast. Since my snow. That's right. Together. Snow is in the forecast. We haven't even had Thanksgiving yet, and we're talking about snow. All right, here's what's going on tonight. Bundle up if you're going outside. Keep those tender bits of skin covered. Temperatures going down into the low 20s in the city, teens in the suburbs. And you know they're up to no good. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, and this is where the fun begins. Rain, sleet, and snow move in tomorrow afternoon and continue into tomorrow night. Potential accumulation around 1 inch in the city of Boston, 1 to 3 inches within our listening area. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow night. Lows in the mid-30s. It's going to be a little bit colder than that. But then it's going to change over to rain and warm up a little bit. So Friday, we end this nor'easter with rain and wind blowing around. High in the mid-40s, low in the mid-30s. Saturday, if you got to get rid of the leaves, this is your last shot, kids, because high is going to be in the mid-40s. Falls back below freezing Saturday night. Sunday, partly cloudy. Highs around 40 degrees. Lows around freezing Sunday night. And then on Monday, the rain is back. Yeah, there could be some snow mixed in with that as well. Highs in the low 40s, lows in the 20s Monday night. And then We're not going to see 40 degrees again, kids, until the day after Thanksgiving.
Yowza.
Snow.
I'm excited.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You know why you're excited? Because you're not a homeowner. You don't have giant piles of leaves in your yard that you haven't been able to do anything with because it rains every weekend. Now there's going to be snow on it. I still haven't cleaned my gutters yet.
Oh, pobrecito.
Still haven't cleaned my gutters yet. We got snow. This is wrong. Who do I complain to?
Mother Nature.
Yeah, well, she's going to be getting a strongly worded letter. 855-915-9636. When we come back, folks, we've been teasing it for weeks. Self-radicalization on the internet. It's happening. You're doing it. You are doing it. You are doing it, whether you realize it or not.
You bunch of dummies.
We're going to tell you how and why you're doing it and how you can fix it. But first, here's a little tribute to everybody hitting the road next week.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Old Smokey's got them ears on. He's hot on your trail, and he ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him, you got to duck him, you gotta keep that diesel trucking. Just put that hammer down and give it hell. Eastbound and down, trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
I'm Sarah Beck, consumer meat specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with some tips on buying meat for economy and value. You can be sure you're getting both if you use the USDA quality grades Prime, Choice, and Good as your guide. When you see USDA Prime stamped on a piece of meat, you'll know you're getting the top quality. Of course, it'll probably be the most expensive. Choice is the grade you'll see in most stores, and it's almost as high in quality. Although Good grade is not as juicy and flavorful as the higher grades, it's somewhat more lean and acceptably tender. It's often a good buy for the thrifty shopper. For more free information on meat quality, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250. That's How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
FO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are lucky enough to be listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane, slightly raspier than usual. And with me, as always, is my fantastic co-host, Eric Gary.
Hoo-ha!
We are going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. You can give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. I refuse to do the numbers because, kids, you should know what that stands for.
855-915-9636. The kids don't because they got no numbers anymore.
Yeah, well, they also aren't learning cursive, which is also important.
We need a way for the kids to text us because that's the only way that, you know, they know how to communicate anymore.
Which actually leads us to our point.
We're going to start doing this show on Facebook Messenger. We'll sign everybody up for a group and we'll just text at you for 2 hours. How does that sound?
Derek, you hate this more than me, so why don't you lead this?
What? Everything? Is that what we're talking about? My hatred of everything?
Oh, you don't hate everything more than me. There are plenty of things I hate more than you.
No, I mean, I just hate everything in general.
No, that's what I'm saying. I do too, but some of them I hate. Wait. You hate this more than I do while I still actually hate this.
Well, let me go back and let me set the stage for this. You remember...
Why don't I have popcorn?
You remember the Tsarnaev brothers.
I do indeed.
Unfortunately. We don't like to give them a lot of airtime because they're not worthy of it. But do you remember what happened to the Tsarnaev brothers that led them to the Boston Marathon bombing? There was a phrase that was used.
Generally speaking.
There was a phrase that was used to describe what had happened to the Tsarnaev brothers.
I can think of several. Right now, I'm just thinking of words the FCC will fine us for because you brought them up.
No.
So
the phrase that was
what?
This machine is doing weird things. The FBI in their investigation of the Tsarnaev brothers came to the conclusion that they had become self-radicalized. That was the phrase.
I was going to say the first word that I came to was when you said that was radicalization.
That they were self-radicalized on the internet. They'd been watching these videos put out by Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and those videos led them to believe that jihad was the answer. If they'd been watching John Lennon videos, they would have learned that love is the answer. But they weren't watching.
And they should give peace a chance.
They should give peace a chance. They were not watching John Lennon. They were watching people freaking out and screaming about stuff. And everybody sort of looked at it and said, gee, that's a, you know, we shouldn't be allowing that to happen. 5 years later, 6 years later, it's happening to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about...
God, that was 6 years ago.
That was 6 years ago. We talk about all the...
I love you, Boston.
...anger and all of the divide in the United States of America right now. And if you are of a certain age, as I am, and Shay is to an extent, that
now I'm of a certain age. You spent every other week calling me a millennial. Sorry,
well,
continue.
You are a millennial and useless in that regard. But
oh, shut up!
You are old enough to remember world before the internet.
Oh, absolutely.
You're old enough to remember world before social media. You're not a full native.
I was gonna say that's what I always say is that I am in the very unique position that. Pretty much the exact year I was born was, I don't want to say perfect because it kind of sucks, but like Windows 95 came out when I was 9.
Yeah.
Facebook was invented my freshman year of college.
Yeah.
Like my school was one of the first schools outside of Boston to get Facebook.
So you remember a teenage life free of social media.
I do.
And all of the, well, you had MySpace back then.
No, like the most we had, like MySpace, oh, too many lesbians stalked me. But the most we really had was AIM and AOL.
Right.
And well, what's strange is,
boy, do I remember what a productivity killer AIM was.
Oh, I used to spend way too much time like figuring out what my away message should be.
Yeah.
It was so important to me. And I look back on that now, I'm like, you would literally like not do your homework to think of how you could sound the coolest.
But thinking back on your teen years, on your high school years, do you remember people being at each other's throats? The way that they are today.
No, well, that's the first thing that I think about in regard to the point you're making, which is incredibly true.
By the way, horrendously divisive President Barack Obama was elected in 2008, causing people to set fire to black churches across the South. Can I just point out that the white people did that?
Not this white person.
The bad white people did that.
The bad
white people.
Oh my God, that's my new favorite phrase.
The bad white people did that, yes.
So simple, yet so descriptive.
Yes.
Well, when we've discussed this topic a lot, and I have a lot I would like to get into about it, and hopefully in a short time.
You got 20 minutes.
Shut up. The first thing that I had that came to mind was seventh grade, I believe. Was it seventh grade? Yeah, seventh grade. I was in French class when Columbine happened. Yeah, they forced me to take a semester of French. Je voudrais le fromage. That's what I took away from it.
J'aime beaucoup le français.
Oh, je suis désolé.
Quel est votre problème?
I guess I speak more than that. What actually is funny, quick side note, yesterday a table in my restaurant was speaking French to each other. I do know a little bit. And like I was setting up the private room for an event and I slammed the cabinet door a little too hard right next to them. And I said, oh, messieurs, je suis désolé. And one of the guys looked up and he said, oh, no worries, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, like, where the hell did that come from? But I remember being in class and realizing that a big part of the reason Columbine happened, and don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming the internet entirely on Columbine.
No, that was because of video games.
Columbine entirely on the internet. But part of the fuel that was added to that fire was, number one, the ability to and this was when the internet was burgeoning too. Like this is brand new. Like it was when everything was still very primitive. But Eric Harris had a blog that people followed, and people agreeing with him made him even more sure that he was correct.
Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were edgelords back in the day.
And there was a website called Trenchcoat Mafia.
Yep.
That allowed not just them, but every other kid that felt pissed off. Can I say pissed off on the radio?
Yeah, you can say that.
That felt pissed off.
Fair to say PO'd, but you know.
At their situation. Given the subject matter, I think that the full thing is appropriate. But at their life or situation or role in high school or whatever. And it, that was, I remember watching that. My French teacher was basically like, we're speaking English today. We're watching the news. But I remember watching that and thinking, there's no way that anything that's horrifying and terrible, at least to this capacity, could ever happen again. And then the internet grew, and so did all of this nonsense.
Well, it's interesting because what you talk about is the old school way that it happened and sort of the early days of the internet.
It's when the internet was like a baby.
One of the things about the internet is that no matter how out there your views are, you will find a ready audience of people to go along with you. Mm. So you can set up your blog, you can set up your Tumblr account, you can set up your Twitter feed, what have you, and you can put the most poisonous, nonsensical ideas out into the web, and you will find somebody somewhere who will come along and say,
he just wants to latch onto it.
I like the cut of your jib, sir. And then a few more people come along, and suddenly you're like, oh, wait a minute. I've got a following here. And it does. It reinforces the worst narcissistic tendencies of those who are sociopathic. And because now they've got a cheering
Charlie
squad.
Charlie Manson syndrome, as I like to call it.
Now they got a cheering squad. And now somebody's going to notice when they go out in a blaze of glory. And it in the case of Harrison Klebold, they did what they did to be martyrs for the cause.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going to live forever because of what they did. And we're still talking about them 23 years later. So, yep.
Which mission is what's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, mission accomplished.
Well, and I mean, I think actually, now that I come to think of it, I think that talking about this is what inspired both of us to, talking about what I'm about to say, is what inspired both of us to have this be a devoted segment, is if you think about, I brought this up on the show about a month ago, when I was, almost every year, there's a Jewish summer camp from Canada that they do a like 4-day trip to Boston. And Nick's Comedy Stop, great club, check it out. But they host a comedy show for these campers. And they're all like 15 and up. It's teenagers. They're not, you know, it's not like we're doing it for 7-year-olds. But I forget if it was last year or the year before. I was on the show, as I have been several times before. And I posted a very innocent Facebook comment saying, I'm about to perform for a bunch of campers from a Jewish summer camp. So many circumcision jokes, so little time. Hmm. That's literally all I said.
It's pretty good.
And I said it just before, like, I parked my car, posted that on Facebook, took the 5-minute walk from where I was parked to Nick's, greeted the booker, greeted the door guy, like the bouncers, talked to the other comics for a few minutes. So maybe 15 minutes had passed by the time I looked at Facebook again. I had 47 notifications, most of which contained pictures of mutilated penises and people telling me that I was awful and that I was a heathen and how dare I. And it was nice because a lot of like, it was nice. I can't believe I was just like, it was nice. But I mean, it was awful and it lasted for days.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where there was a time very recently that a guy that I've never even met in person spent months, I've talked about this on the show too, spent months harassing me. And then after I finally had it out with this guy and basically told, like talked him down, another guy commented 2 days later on one of my posts saying, you just want attention. You would have blocked him if like that was someone you wanted. And I said, no, because it's important to show people that's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
They want to be able to go, haha, I won. But
well, this is because this is part of what's happened. Those cults of personality that existed back in the blogging days around people like Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold have now become free range mobs that just sort of wander around from offense to offense looking for things to be outraged about.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing is that it, as it turns out, the whole circumcision thing, how it happened is there's this one crazy anti-circumcision guy that got hundreds of thousands of people to follow him. He he shared the post that I made, and the floodgates opened. And that's the problem with how things...
Did they call you baby mutilator? Because really...
So many times.
Until you've been called baby mutilator, you're not...
So many times.
You're not doing the job right.
Just every different version of baby mutilator you can think of.
Yep. So, what happened here? Well, if we go back to the Tsarnaev brothers... Okay, you got a couple of guys, they're refugees living in the United States. One of them is a failed Olympic athlete. The other one is just sort of a meandering, displaced kid, doesn't really know what he's doing. And they're looking for meaning in their lives, and they're looking for something to do, something to be a part of. And they find these videos online. And the way that self-radicalization happens is very simple. Somebody on the internet, and this doesn't have to be an individual, this could be a news organization, and we'll get into this in a little bit. This could be a big company. We'll get into that in a little bit. Somebody puts out a video basically saying, this is what's wrong with thing that you like. There's a ton of this going on right now around Star Wars because The Last Jedi proved to be a perfect lightning rod for this sort of thing. So a lot of people like Star Wars. A lot of people really don't like The Last Jedi because it's a bad movie, okay? And all of those people who are angry about this movie are just sort of wandering around out there and they're like, you know, where do I go to complain about this?
Exactly.
Who do I yell at? And you get some guy goes up on YouTube and he's like, wow, that Last Jedi is a real turd, and suddenly he has 10 million views. Okay. This is where it begins. And I'm using this as an example. There are lots of examples out there. It could be immigration, it could be Black Lives Matter, it could be Colin Kaepernick, it could be anything. You find yourself wanting to learn more about something that you feel. So you go to Facebook, or I'm going to tell you to go to YouTube. This is an experiment that anybody can do right now. Okay? You can do this in your spare time.
I'm going to do it as we speak.
You can do it later tonight. You can do it at any point in time. This will work. Go into YouTube and just look up, Last Jedi, bad movie. And take a look at the videos that come up. More than likely, you are going to encounter Ethan Van Shiver, comic artist Pro Secrets, Jeremy from The Quartering, or Geeks and Gamers. You're very, very likely to get one of those three. You might get Mike Zero in there. Mike Zero is sort of a middle of the road kind of guy.
Vito the Dishonored Wolf, CinemaSins.
CinemaSins is totally mainstream and nonsense, but you'll come across
as a geese store.
You'll come across one of these guys. Watch one of their videos.
This is so absurd.
Watch one of their videos where they're complaining about Kathleen Kennedy or The Last Jedi or whatever. When that video ends, you are going to be given another video by either that same creator or another one of these guys. And then the next time you log on to YouTube...
It'll suggest
under
more.
Recommended, you're going to see more videos by these guys. And you're going to keep seeing videos by these guys. Why? Because Google and YouTube have now figured something out about you. They've figured out that you don't like The Last Jedi.
Oh, I hate that. It gives me the willies.
And because you don't like The Last Jedi, you're going to want to see more videos by these guys. Now, the three guys that I mentioned all happen to be conservatives. And they happen to adopt conservative viewpoints about everything. So if you watch enough of their videos, you're going to start getting the MAGA channel showing up in your recommendations. And then you're going to start to get Fox News showing up in your recommendations. And then if you're really lucky, you'll get idiots like Peter Molyneux showing up in your recommendations, and you are now in hardcore alt-right crazy land.
I say, and thus the slippery slope becomes a black diamond.
Because this is what the algorithm does. The algorithm seizes, and whatever you're using, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Google search, everything is driven by the algorithm. And the algorithm basically exists to do one thing, and that is to give you more of what it thinks you want. So you go in and you watch one of these videos, and all of a sudden, more of them are popping up in your feed, and you watch more of them, and more of them are popping up in your feed. And the next thing you know, you log into YouTube, and you've got this stream of videos that Star Wars is bad, She-Ra is bad, Doctor Who is bad, all of this is bad, social justice warriors are taking over entertainment, the whole world is coming to an end. Or you could watch somebody who is pro-Doctor Who, or pro-She-Ra, or pro-gay rights, and you're going to start getting videos pushing you down into the progressive left point of view.
It really very much is likened to, at least like the closest thing I can think pre-internet to compare this to, is religion. Because you think, as I've spoken about on the show before, I was raised very, very Catholic, and I basically renounced Catholicism around the age of 17 or 18. But for years, I just blindly followed that. Do you know why? Because it was shoved in my face, and then another part got shoved in my face, and then another portion got shoved in my face. And all of this doctrine and all of this rhetoric just kept getting shoved in my face. And it's strange to look back on now at the age of 32. I know I look at guys, quit with the compliments, but to think how easy it was for me, just because I had things put in front of me so consistently, to believe something that I now, and no offense, I know religion is important to some people, but it is no longer to me, but how easy it was for me to just blindly believe something or agree with something that I now find absurd, that I now look back and I'm like, you seriously thought this? Like, think of how much training it took your brain to convince itself that this was correct.
But here's the thing. With religion, at least, it smells like incense. And when someone starts
I love the smell of frankincense.
Someone starts talking to you about religion, that frankincense smell crops up, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. You become aware that it's happening. With the algorithm, you don't know.
Oh, yeah. You can intend to watch one video and stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Unless someone like me is sitting there and explaining
this to
you. Mass
is 1 hour.
And I know how these things work because I'm in the industry, okay? You don't know that this is happening. All you know is that you log on and you see all these videos that are aligned to a particular political point of view. Mm. And the other thing that the algorithm very cleverly does is it blocks out alternative points of view. So you are constantly getting reinforced and reinforced and in whatever you happen to believe. I'm going to give you an example. And it's not just that the algorithm is feeding you this content. It's that the people who make content are using the behavior of the algorithm to determine what they will write. So the entire news media now, they're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in objective reporting. They're interested in whatever is going to get them seen by the algorithm. And what gets them seen by the algorithm is partisan screaming. So I'm going to give you an example. This is something that is utterly and completely meaningless, Shay. Doctor Who. Okay?
You're right. That is utterly and
completely. Utterly and completely meaningless. But just to give you an example of how far this goes.
That's how funny I found that.
Doctor Who's been on the air since the 1960s. It is a British science fiction show. Very popular. Big fan base.
And has gone through many cycles of... I know a lot of nerds.
Because...
It's been through many cycles of production and cast.
Because the original actor who played the Doctor got too old to play the part... They came up with this concept that the Doctor could regenerate so that different actors could come in every so often and play the role and basically refresh the show. Well, it happened again this fall, only for the first time in the show's history, the Doctor is a woman. All the usual noise gets made around this. The PC crowd is sitting there saying, well, it's about time we get a woman in there. And the anti-PC crowd is saying, here's something else that's been destroyed. Why don't you go create your own characters? Yada, yada, yada. So, late last week, the news media started jumping all over this. The Sun, which is one of the tabloids over in England and has a particular bias, they weren't the only ones. There were several news, there's several tabloids in the United Kingdom published stories talking about the new season of Doctor Who, because a lot of people who don't like the fact that they cast a woman are expecting the show to go down in flames. So The Sun runs a story saying that the ratings are down and that people on Twitter are complaining that the show is too politically correct. These statements are demonstrably true. These are facts, okay? The show debuted with 10.8 million viewers. The most recent episode had 5.8 million viewers. These are numbers that are reported by the BBC. All right? In the same way that we have Nielsen ratings in this country, they have television ratings over there. The show has lost 5 million audience members since its debut. The ratings are down. People on Twitter are saying, I don't watch the show anymore because it's too preachy and too politically correct. Now, that may not be why everybody has tuned out, but that's why individuals have tuned out.
But that's a very good point, and it also lends itself to the fact that I don't believe we've touched upon yet, that like you just said, you made a very good point where perhaps that's not the reason that everybody tuned out, but it does stand to reason that there's some parallel there. And that's the subconscious effects of all of this as well. Like, somebody, that was a perfect example. Say somebody posts about Doctor Who and is like, it's stupid that there's a woman in there now. A guy whose girlfriend just broke up with him might look at that and be like, oh, they're overreacting. But somewhere in his subconscious mind, it's been planted. Like, yeah, screw women right now. Yeah, screw that chick. Yeah, screw Doctor Who. And like, without even realizing that that's where that seed was, how that seed was planted, he suddenly doesn't want to watch Doctor Who.
And the whole reason they're writing these stories in the first place is because they know it's going to gin things up, because they know there's a huge algorithm-driven audience out there that wants this content. Now, these statements of fact that the ratings are down and that there are individuals on Twitter saying the show is too politically correct and they've stopped watching, not good enough for Digital Spy. Digital Spy comes along and says, how's Jodie Whittaker's Doctor Who actually? They have actually with asterisks instead of quotes around.
I want to punch everyone on the
internet. Actually doing so far.
Guys, grammar is not that hard. We learn it in sixth grade. Sorry, continue. Different story. Different subject.
Jodie Whittaker's debut as everyone's favorite Time Lord last month in Doctor Who proved to be a huge hit with old and new audiences alike. True statement. 10.8 million viewers was a recent record for the show. I'm gonna skip ahead a paragraph. Over the episode since, viewers have been returning in their millions each week to watch and praise Whittaker and her TARDIS team, blah, 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 some episode summaries. But some quarters, and indeed some media outlets, have been sniping, claiming that Doctor Who is hemorrhaging fans in the millions. Recently, tabloids, who couldn't possibly have any kind of agenda, have said Doctor Who is exterminating fans due to the show's PC plots. Now, we won't address the five or six people on Twitter who don't like their favorite science fiction show changing the gender of the lead character and addressing racism and colonialism right now. They obviously have their own issues to deal with, but let's have a look at those plunging viewing figures. So we've got the usual, like, online garbage snark in here.
Yes, it's so eloquent and well-written.
Here is the one accurate statement in this entire article. Quote, now it is a fact to say that Series 11 has seen a drop. Yeah, it has. It's down 5 million viewers. Now they gotta go over. And let's give this some context. A very similar thing, if not exactly the same, happened with Christopher Eccleston's Ninth Doctor in 2005. He kicked off with 10.9 million, but saw viewership drop by 4 million during his run with Billy Piper's Rose. Well, the viewership's dropped by 5 million. But this is the whole point. They have to write this article because the algorithm says there are people out there who are triggered and upset about the other articles that say the show is doing bad. Therefore, we have to come in and lie to you and say everything's okay and bend ourselves into knots to reinforce your worldview. This is what the algorithm is driving. This is what's happening on both ends of the spectrum. It's not just the left. It's not just the right. It's everybody.
When my mom asks me why I get so anxious or depressed, Mom, if you're listening, this is why. It's all so gross. Ugh. And it's, well, and that's the thing is like, it basically, what the internet has ultimately provided is a voice to those who shouldn't have one. There's a reason that people become public figures or become famous or become people that people listen to. Now any dum-dum with a keyboard can just hop on the internet and essentially ruin the worldview of people who may have arrived at a much better conclusion on their own.
I don't know that these people are necessarily aware that they're doing this.
A lot of them are, I promise you.
And that's the cynics out there and the people who are pulling the strings at YouTube and Facebook and these other outlets and the editors of some of these outlets, Gizmodo Media Group or Breitbart News, they know exactly what they're doing.
They
know that the algorithm is programmed to drive people to certain kinds of content.
And to give them a voice.
And they know that if they write the right type of content, the algorithm is going to come through for them, and they're going to get lots of viewers on their website, and they're going to get those delicious, delicious advertising dollars that they all crave.
Well, I always just think of it as, it's very similar to that I brought up, I call it Charlie Manson syndrome. It's very similar to all the cults that occurred, I mean, that have always occurred. I was going to say in the 1960s, but it's always been a thing, is that there's one of two things is true about these people. Either they, like you just said, know exactly what they're doing and reaping the benefits of people being easily influenced, or they're actually freaking nuts and believe that what they're doing is true and worthy and noble or something.
Well, we prefer to call them useful idiots. That's the phrase of record for those people, useful idiots. There are a few true believers out there, but they tend to be few and far between. It's mostly useful idiots who sit there and they're bought in. They are hired, okay? Gizmodo Media Group is hiring people based on how hysterical they can get over a particular piece of content.
It
was the same thing at the Huffington Post back when that was a thing. And the Huffington Post is in its death throes right now, so we don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I remember when HuffPost was funny.
Ultimately.
Like, on purpose, though.
Ultimately, the HuffPost did it.
What did you do, Ariana?
The HuffPost did it the wrong way. Because the Huffington Post sat there and they printed out lists of top keywords all day long. And then told people to go write content based on the keywords. They didn't follow the algorithms. They didn't follow the way that the algorithms were pushing people into more extreme viewpoints. The smart ones, your Breitbarts and your Alex Jones and he's been deplatformed because he was doing it too well. Your Breitbarts and your Gizmodo Media Group followed the algorithms, and your Vice Media and your BuzzFeed and your
basically, we're going to make this content not because it's original, but because we know it's what you want to hear and what you'll end up hearing.
And your Occupy Democrats are all following the algorithms. CNN following the algorithms. Open up the USA Today homepage, and you will see what the algorithm is telling you what the left wants to read every single day, without hesitation. That is whatever is bubbling in the algorithm. That's what drives USA Today's editorial decisions. So, what do you do? I hate to say it.
Cry.
Fox News, surprisingly, not doing a lot with the algorithm, because they don't have to. Because Fox News has this built-in audience, no matter what.
I was just
going to
say, because it's built right in there.
I'm not going to tell you to follow Fox News, because
please don't.
They're bad people.
I love, that was quaint.
Yeah.
Because they're bad people.
Because they're bad people. But you might check out Reuters. Reuters tends to run it pretty much down the middle.
Reuters is essentially, anytime that I'm like, this news story I'm reading seems a bit biased, I wonder what Reuters said about it.
If you want to fix it, if you want to get back to an America where we understand and recognize and respect each other, you need to recognize the influence the algorithm has on your life, and you need to break yourself away from it. And the way that you break yourself away from it, it's very simple. Go look at a piece of content. Go watch a video. Go read something that is exactly opposed to everything that you believe. And if that doesn't start resetting the things that you see popping up in your feed, do it a couple of more times. You may not like what you read from the other side because it is extreme and biased and nonsense, but in doing so, you will get a greater variety of voices showing up in your feed.
And show you the age-old adage of the truth lies somewhere in between.
Exactly. Either that or the more modern adage that says, we're all just crazy. 855-915-9636. WMFO Medford, The Big Picture. On the Tell Mikey D, coming your way in just 10 minutes. But before that, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs.
What a rough week at work. I can't believe we got to travel 100 miles to your parents for Thanksgiving. I'm bushed.
We've got to be there no later than 4 o'clock. Dinner's at 5:30 and the whole family's going to be there. Are you okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm all right. We'll stop for coffee if I get too sleepy.
Don't turn the Thanksgiving holiday into a tragedy. Being drowsy behind the wheel can lead to inattentive driving, or you could fall asleep and cause a crash, resulting in loss of life or serious injury for you, your family, or someone else who is simply sharing the road. If you're too sleepy, it may be too late.
What are you doing? You almost got us killed! Pull over! I'll drive.
Thanksgiving should be a happy time. Don't mess it up by driving drowsy. Be well rested and stay alert. Don't be among the New Jersey residents who die each year by falling asleep at the wheel. This message from the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We are wrapping things up here at The Big Picture. Before we go, we want to tell you our favorite thing from this or the past, this coming or the past week. For me, this Sunday, oh my God, I'm so sad I can't go. The lovely ancient Irish sport of hurling will feature four teams competing in a tournament for the Players' Champion Cup. Clare will defend its title against three counties, including Limerick, Cork, and Wexford. They are playing for the third time in 4 years at Fenway Park.
Yeah, they've done this before. This is always
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I was going to say, every year I'm like, I'm going, because I love hurling. It's like high stakes, hot dude field hockey.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome. But every year I have something to do. Matt, why did you have to get married this weekend?
And the entire Kenmore Square area is full of very excitable and intoxicated Irish folk.
Stop it.
Oh, it's wild over there.
Oh, I won't go. I want to jig with everybody.
You'll be able to get a seat in any Irish bar in Boston.
I want to get
strong
enough that I'm not doing this voluntarily.
Because all the real Irish are over at Fenway. Yeah.
But if you want tickets, you can actually literally get them at MLB.com. Just type in Players Champion Cup, or even just type in hurling. I'm pretty sure it's the only hurling thing happening.
Yeah, it's the only hurling
on the MLB
the
website right now.
There's a lot of hurling in the alleys after the game.
It's the hurling and then the hurling.
Yes, it's all day hurling. Folks, I said this before and I will say it again. If you're going home for Thanksgiving and you're not going home for Christmas, and you've got small kids who are relatives, or maybe someone in your family you really like, bring an advent calendar. It is a perfect gift to drop off.
I used to love those.
At Thanksgiving, and then the kids get it on December 1st, and they get to enjoy it all month long.
It's really the perfect time to give that gift to somebody.
Lego is back. They've got three advent calendars again this year.
Oh, Lego again.
City, Star Wars, and Friends. Be warned that the Star Wars one has Last Jedi stuff in it. That may influence your...
Careful, Derek. Your nerdiness is showing.
Now, the hot advent calendar this year, available at Target, is the Funko Harry Potter advent calendar, which has miniature Funko Pop versions of all of your Harry Potter favorites in it.
Uh-huh.
Playmobil has a 2018 calendar with a Santa's Workshop theme. And if you don't mind shopping online, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Revell, they make the models. You know, the Revell company.
Yeah.
This is available only at iWoot.com or US. That's I want one of those. This is iWoot.com.
I like just thinking iWoot because it's a funny word.
Or US.zavvi.com. This is the Revell RC Advent Calendar. So every day you get a piece of a remote-controlled 4x4 truck. You build it yourself. And then on Christmas Day, you have a new RC toy to play with.
Badass.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh my goodness.
So you can find those online. Check out Target, check out Walmart. They got the advent calendars.
I would say it's like that episode of The Office when Michael just keeps giving Dwight pieces of a nutcracking machine.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome gift to bring for Thanksgiving.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Lastly, here at The Big Picture, we're going to tell you that's the thing that happened, which is the weirdest thing that's happened in this past week. For me, keeping it local, New Hampshire. Police in Barrington, New Hampshire are warning residents after they say a man dressed up as an officer tried to get access to someone's house. Both police and residents are calling yesterday's incident, quote, incredibly unsettling. Police Chief Bob Williams said the suspect was wearing a Barrington police shirt and a taser on his hip when he approached a home at around 12:30 p.m. Tuesday, literally lunchtime. He told the homeowner he was responding for a noise complaint. After a brief discussion with the homeowner, Williams said the man turned around and briskly left. At that point, the homeowner, so confused by the visit, called police to get some answers. Turns out there was never an actual police officer in that neighborhood at the time. So if any of our listeners are in New Hampshire, the suspect is described as a man in his late 30s with brown hair, about 5'8", driving a black Dodge Charger with a spotlight. Anyone who sees him or his vehicle is urged to call police. And big fat, don't let him into your house.
Georgia,